My dog's wagging tail broke not one, but two wine glasses right off my coffee table this week.
Well, yesterday my cat's biting issues reached a whole new level when he bit my boob.
An ex of mine texted me a new number, who dis, after I just checked in. We went out for 2 years.
I stepped directly onto a large cactus right after I told myself to watch out for said cactus.
It'll happen. Have such a good day. Hello, world, and welcome to another fun-filled edition of Have Such a Good Day, episode 37.
Can you believe that? We are getting old. We're getting up there. We're getting over the hill.
We're almost dead. You know what's weird? You know when someone says, like, think of a number between 1 and 100? Uh-huh. It doesn't happen that often, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I always think of the number 37.
Why is that?
This is going to be really weird.
Okay.
However,
I'm bracing myself.
Back in the days when we all read Sweet Valley High,
loved those books.
Jessica's favorite number was 37.
That is so funny.
And it kind of came up because, you know, all the episodes sort of were, they would repeat themselves.
Yeah.
You know how, like, Elizabeth and Jessica were like twins, but like one had a mole and one didn't. Like, they told you the same thing in like the first three, pages of every single episode not episode, because it wasn't actually a show, although it probably was. Anyway,
probably
books.
Eventually.
But yeah, it was like, that was her number. And so, like, it became mine.
That's so funny, because I think about this a lot, like, how you remember really random things from the past that you're like, why do I remember that?
Yeah.
You know?
Like, what is that?
Hello, and helicopter.
Well, hello. Looks like somebody's in trouble in the L.A. greater area.
Well, there's probably some kind of car chase.
Probably. Well, you know, I've for anybody who is listening, we're also on a video podcast here, but Heather and I live in a part of town where it's very sort of serene, and you might be mistaken for thinking you kind of live in the country, but we're near a bunch of highways.
Mm-hmm,
in fact, quite a few of them.
Yep.
And in the morning, when the helicopters are circling, I'm always sort of like, is someone in trouble? Or are we just doing, you know, the
rounds,
the traffic at 10?
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
the helicopters, you know, they do like aerial stuff, mm-hmm, like to like help people understand what the commute is like. So helicopters are sort of a police state way of life, at least in our neck of the woods.
Oh, definitely. It's very, and I don't remember it being that way up in the Bay Area so much, but I mean,
no.
I know there's quite a bit of crime here, and they're looking for people
looking
doing
for the
bad
perps.
Things on the ground.
When I lived in Venice, which was, gosh, I mean, 6 months ago, I still lived there. God, is that right? How time flies.
It really does.
But there were also lots of helicopters, because I don't know, the beaches are weird, but also it was the Coast Guard.
Mm.
So half the time it was LAPD, and half the time they were just doing tests.
Well, I feel safe.
So you got used to the helicopters overhead, yes. As you're sunbathing, wave hello to your neighbor.
And I'm glad I have noise-canceling headphones.
Oh, man.
Anyway, you guys, welcome to the show, our show, where we unpack the absurdity for you about everyday adult life, because we all know it's ridiculous.
Man, life is comedy.
You just never know what you're going to get when you wake
up. Because if you can't laugh about it, you'd probably cry. And then it might be one of those shows today. Heather and I, we got through another week. We're so happy to have all of you here. Got lots of stuff to talk about. But for anybody who's at the $5 and up Patreon level, Heather, what are we going to get into in our bonus topic this week?
This is kind of neat. I'm excited to talk about this one. If you were guaranteed to be successful in a different profession, what would you want to do?
Ooh, okay. All right. So when the podcasting thing goes to hell, what would be our second or third career?
Yeah. I have like a second and third and fourth, I think.
I've got a good answer for this one, and I'll save it for later.
Excited.
We'll get to that later.
Okay, sounds good. Well, how was your week? How's your week been, Sarah?
It's been fine. It has. Can't you tell?
Yes.
It's been busy. I'm busy with work, which is a great thing. I had my mom visiting last weekend, right after we did the show last week. She was actually with us, but you couldn't see her at the time. She's a little camera shy. And we had such a fun just sort of mom and daughter weekend, which we always do. When I go up to see my mom, she doesn't live in the childhood house I grew up in, but she lives close to where that was. So it's like, it's kind of same old same. Mm-hmm. You know, I sit on the couch, I demand food, I might see some childhood friends. You know, sometimes I don't get on my pajamas till 4 p.m. and my mom starts bugging me about it and we fight. And, you know, it's just mom's house. When she comes to my house, it's sort of like, oh, we're in L.A. Let's do fun things. Mm-hmm. Let's, you know, go somewhere new, mm-hmm. which we did over the weekend. We did some fun adventures and she was a real trooper. And we, you know, took Otis on long walks and saw nature and went to the Huntington Library, which if anyone has ever been there before, you already know that it's amazing. But Heather had told me about it beforehand, and it is the place to take an out-of-towner.
Isn't it neat?
It's really
cool.
It's
stunning.
Yeah, it is a library that has a lot of sort of rare editions of old books. That actually doesn't really, whatever.
There's some art there, too.
Yeah, there is.
Galleries and
yeah,
stuff.
Quite a bit. There's a lot of shit there. But for the most part, it's like this huge, like hundreds of acres of gardens.
And it's like desert rose garden. There's like a huge variety.
Japanese, Chinese, Australian, subtropical. Then you got the like conservatory, which is like all humid and indoors. Mm-hmm. And it was the coolest.
Isn't it the coolest?
Yeah. So if you're in the LA area, you look up Huntington Library. It's in Pasadena, and I promise you, you will not regret it unless you hate nature. Then
you
will.
In fact, it will probably make you have such a good day. Because, you know, it's like one of those things where you're like, I don't know what to do today, and I need to get out, but I want to be cheered up. Go to the Huntington Garden.
Yeah.
Like one of those things.
Really?
You know?
And what the part of town that we live in is not far from there. 15-minute drive? It would have been a huge trek from where I used to live. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm kind of just embracing. I'm embracing all of these things.
I love Pasadena.
Yeah. So what about you? How was your week?
Oh, it's been good. I mean, you know, I had a great kind of longish weekend. I went on a trip over kind of like Sunday to Wednesday. Went out to see the Super Bloom, which I've been talking about, which everybody's been talking about.
Sure.
This is where like a lot of the California poppies are like, you know, there's literally carpets of them all over like the hills, kind of on the way to San Diego, kind of east, southeast. Anyway, went to a place called Lake Elsinore, Walker Canyon kind of area. I mean, it really was what everyone's talking about. It's
just like
really
stunningly
cool to see it
in person. Yeah.
There's a lot of people
lots of
though.
Color.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. And didn't trample on any flowers. I don't really understand why people were doing that because there's plenty of like places to take pictures and whatever. But super fun. We took off from there and went to Joshua Tree, which if you haven't been to Joshua Tree, very magical place, really different environment, but beautiful desert. That's also, you know, there's a lot of bloom out there too. Like a lot of the cactuses are blooming, but there's a lot of cool rock formations. You know, people rock climb there. Mm-hmm. I saw a lot of people like roped up, but you can boulder. You can just kind of like climb over rocks, you know, kind of on a low level. And it's really fun, really cool scene. Stayed in a place called Pioneer Town, went to Pappy and Harriet's. It's a cute little roadside venue, bar, super fun. Met some new people. It was a great time. I highly recommend a road trip also to improve your life.
I think there probably are a couple of people who might be listening or watching and saying, oh, Joshua Tree, I thought that was just a U2 album. Yeah. It's a real place. It's kind of a weirdly named place.
It is. Well, because the trees are called Joshua Trees.
Sure. But I think a lot of people are like, oh, that's a destination?
Yeah, like
I
putting
didn't
two
realize,
and two together.
Yeah,
yeah.
That
no,
was
I agree.
What it was.
If you're living under a big old rock.
I also like the name Joshua.
It is a good name. It's a classic. Yeah. That name was pretty popular in high school or in like grammar school.
We're still in our name popularity.
We're obsessed.
We are. Yeah. No. I think Joshua. Well, again, Bible. I think it. Yeah, had a resurgence somewhat recently.
Mm-hmm. And Joshy. Oh, I have a friend who has a kid named Josh. Actually,
Joshy. That's pretty
cute. It's cute. For
Josh.
A kid.
Just Joshin. Don't know where that came from. Okay, so where do I start with this? So I wanted to talk about a couple things. So are we familiar with the company Theranos?
I am now.
Okay, so Theranos was a company, and I'm using it in the past tense because it's gone through a whole lot of shit. But it just for brevity's sake, the idea was, it was a company that was founded by this woman, Elizabeth Holmes, who had supposedly invented a way to, instead of having to go and get blood taken mm-hmm. from the phlebotomy lab, you know, and there's insurance, blah, 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 you could prick your finger, mm-hmm. You know, safely and, you know, a lot less invasive, and then send it in, mm-hmm. and it would be used as a blood sample mm-hmm. for lots of different things, mm-hmm. you know, and it was designed to be cheaper, more effective,
less painful,
better results. Mm-hmm. The whole thing was like, it was engineered to be this. We're going to literally reimagine the idea of taking blood out of a human's body mm-hmm. and being able to get some data out of that.
And quicker too, because I think you could quickly diagnose and sure. move on, you know?
Right. It was too good to be true. And funny enough, it was. Elizabeth Holmes was the founder of this company. There have been documentaries, mm-hmm. many articles written about her fall from grace, because, and allegedly, and many people believe, this was all just a huge ruse, mm-hmm. An attempt to swindle a lot of money out of a lot of really powerful people mm-hmm. with a product that was known by some, not many, to not work. Mm-hmm. So whether or not she thought that it would like eventually work down the road, like yeah. maybe her intentions were good, sure. but that's not how you run a business. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly not how you run a business when people's lives are at stake.
Of course.
Which they are when mm-hmm. you're trying to, you know, figure out when if somebody's blood is fucked yeah. up. Yeah, exactly. It's like you just don't mess around with health. Anyway, there are a lot of, you know, things that... It's weird because, and I have weird feelings about this whole thing because it's like, okay, she's a, you know, very young, kind of pretty woman.
Well educated,
but like sort of like, you know, seemed sort of like a savant. Mm-hmm. And people were sort of like, whoa, what's up with this, you know, this woman? She's standing out in a sea of nerds, that kind mm-hmm. of thing. It's, you know, your sort of typical like, ooh, Silicon Valley, you know, sort of rogue person.
Like black turtlenecks
and was sort of kind of quoting Steve Jobs all the time, yeah. but like changing it slightly. Like she definitely was playing the game. Mm-hmm. But what I found interesting about this, and the story is deep and it's actually pretty messed up. So if you haven't heard about the Theranos story, I encourage you to read up on it just to see how weird it is. But one of the things that the media coverage of this, which has been quite a bit, again, you know, it's like she's a woman, she's going to get attention, was that she had lowered her voice. Mm-hmm. And the criticism was that it was done intentionally because there's sort of like audio and some artifacts of her earlier days
yeah.
of, you know, maybe not even starting Theranos, but even before that, where she's on record as having just a little bit more of a normal voice. Now, changing your voice a little bit is like not unlike maybe dropping an accent.
Or like the vocal fry stuff to sound sexier or...
I don't know if anybody thinks vocal fry makes you sound sexier, but... But yeah, or if you think, I've got a friend who I grew up with, who's a news anchor. Her voice, mm-hmm. and I won't say her name, because I'm not going to call you out, but her voice on the news uh-huh. is a completely different voice. It's not her voice. She literally puts that on for hours every single day, and then when she's off air, she switches back to like how we sound,
yeah.
which is like a normal person. Mm-hmm. It happens. It's not that weird. It yeah. depends on your job.
Sure.
Some people don't care about this. Some people think it's very strange. But what Elizabeth Holmes had done is lowered her voice in a weird way.
It creeped me out.
And it is clearly affected. And you kind of go like, I doubt that's really how you talk. Mm-hmm. But I don't understand the outrage mm-hmm. of everybody. Like, and she, on top of all of this, she changed her voice, which I'm like... That just is not a thing that bothered me about this story.
And there was like the eye thing. Like she never blinked. Like people were freaked out by her eyes. There was a lot of like physical stuff that people were taking
right.
further than, you know, let's talk about, I guess, story itself.
Yeah. I guess my question to you is, if you knew that somebody had, let's say they're from the UK mm-hmm. and for some reason they feel like having more of an American accent will be more lucrative.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just spitballing.
Sure.
Like, would that bother you? Like, I just don't know why that would bother anybody that much.
I feel like, God, I don't know. I feel like people maybe are bored and they want something to kind of glom onto and to talk about online and to blow out of proportion.
I suppose that's true. Anyway, Elizabeth Holmes, you seem real weird. By the way, she she got engaged recently, and there's this article in, it's called, it's like from like a bride publication, like bride.com or something.
Great.
that I came across, of course, because I was doing a little research on her for something else. And she got engaged, and the article is just like eviscerating her. Like it is like, yeah, you know, known swindler Elizabeth Holmes, who went to Burning Man in August, is now engaged to like some rich kid whose parents own like a restaurant chain, or I don't know, something like that. And whoever wrote the article hates her ass and was kind of dragging her through the mud. Where I'm like, well, I mean, you know, people get engaged.
Well, she's probably swindling that family too.
It's possible, and perhaps not blinking, which makes you a lizard.
She is fascinating, though. The documentary on HBO that just came out is definitely worth a watch. It gives you like a good overview of what happened. I didn't know about that company when it first. Did you know about it way back when?
Yeah, when I was working at TechCrunch, we were following the kind of like catastrophic rise to fame that was happening. You know, where everyone's sort of like, "This is amazing. Is it real?" Well, turns out the answer is no.
Well, speaking of jumping on a, I don't know, media bandwagon.
Okay.
I went and saw the new Jordan Peele movie, Us.
Uh-huh.
All of you have probably heard about it. There's, you know, it's everywhere. It's all over online. You know, a lot of people are saying that Jordan Peele is like the new master of horror, that he's equal parts Alfred Hitchcock and Wes Craven. I don't agree with that. I'm not saying I don't like Jordan Peele. I like Jordan Peele. I liked Get Out. I like, you know, Key and Peele. I like some of the skits he's done. I don't think he's not good at directing.
Sure.
I just think that he's not really a great screenwriter, and I think that this movie was really disappointing on a lot of levels. And I think, and I don't want to get into like reviewing the movie per se. What I wanted to bring up is that, you know, just how brilliant marketing can be and how it can really steer people into liking something. And I'm not saying people can like the movie.
Sure.
A lot of people do like the movie.
Yeah.
In my mind, it is a mess on a lot of levels.
Hmm.
And so I just, you know, there's a lot of articles out there kind of talking about how brilliant the marketing, how it kind of sold his movie to the public. I mean, it did make $70 million in the first weekend.
Definitely a success.
Oh yeah, for sure. And sometimes I just feel like the hype is, you know, sometimes things get so hyped.
Sure.
And then you see it and it's just, and you know, like, I don't believe things like Rotten Tomatoes to me has really jumped the shark. I don't believe their reviews. I feel like they're always off in my mind. So it's kind of hard to really know, but
an aggregate. So it's like, is it the experts that are writing for various newspapers that you don't trust
it's
anymore?
Both. It's kind of, it's
I'll still trust a Rotten Tomatoes score to a point.
I tend to go to Metacritic now more because I feel like they're a little more critical. I don't think that Rotten Tomatoes, because Rotten Tomatoes is now part of Fandango. And ever since that happened, it kind of changed. And I feel like they're a lot more easygoing on the reviews, and I want something that's a little bit more critical. Anyway, I mean, we're all suckers for great marketing. I am also, because I went to see the movie and I really wanted to see the movie. You know, I feel like in general, you know, there's so much symbolism. You know, you've got the gold scissors that were like,
I haven't seen the movie.
Well, you've seen it on the posters. They're holding these gold scissors. Okay. Anyway, well, the marketing has not gotten to you, clearly.
No.
There's billboards all over L.A.
Yeah,
but, you know,
seen
it's
one.
Funny. So there's really no major explanation about why. So that's like their weapon, right? And then these like fancy gold scissors that you'd maybe buy on Goop, you know? And it's like, why? Like, to me, it's like they don't. Yeah, sure, they stab and kill with them. But there's no reason for,
I haven't seen this movie,
you know, for why the scissors. I don't know. There's just like silly stuff. There's some good pop cultural references that I think you'll think are funny. A couple good scares, lots of plot holes, major pacing problems. In my opinion, it's a, you know, kind of a fun popcorn movie. But I was really disappointed, and I'm really surprised at, you know, I've seen a lot of bad reviews. A lot of people are panning it. But I think with the hype, you know, people like to jump on the bandwagon, and it's like, oh, well, I want to be part of this cultural movement. Jordan Peele is this, you know, you know, new talent. And I think that there's a bandwagon thing going on here, in my opinion. I'd love to know what you guys think. I've talked to some of you on Discord about it. I know a few of you have seen it, but I would love to know your opinions, even if you liked it. That's great. I won't judge you. You know, write us at hi at havesuchagoodday.com.
Please do. I don't know anything about this movie. Gold Scissors means nothing to me. Don't know who's in it. Don't know what it's about. I know that I enjoyed Get Out. In fact, it's funny. The first time I saw it, I watched it with somebody, and he and I thought it was funny. We laughed a lot. Mm-hmm. And then I had told another couple of friends, like, we were looking for something to watch on a Friday night or something. And I was like, let's watch Get Out. I'll watch it again. I liked it. It's mm-hmm. really funny. And at the end of the movie, they kind of both looked at me and they're like, that really wasn't funny. Mm-hmm. It was like a scary movie.
It's and kind like a thriller.
Like psychological. Yeah. You know? And I was like, you're right. I don't know why I thought that was funny. It really isn't funny. It took me a couple tries, which I think might speak to perhaps how you felt about Us. Like, maybe, I don't know, sometimes you kind of like, you go in with expectations and it'll sort of shape however you feel about the movie, whether it was good or not or whatever.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. You know, who knows? Maybe you'll see it again and think it was better. I don't like scary movies. I live alone and I can't sleep anyway, and so I don't need nightmares. But I asked a couple of friends who really liked the movie.
Oh, interesting.
How scary is it? And they were like, slightly scarier than Get Out. And I was like, oh, Get Out wasn't scary mm-hmm. to me. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not a movie that would, like, give me nightmares.
Yeah.
But, like, if there's too much, like, rah, like that kind
of
stuff.
There's a fair amount of that.
I'm not really into that. It's not good for my heart.
Yeah, I would say this is definitely more horror than Get Out.
Yeah. Well, okay.
But anyway,
I know that there are gold scissors involved, so I'll just, you know, wait for them.
There are a couple funny bits, but I'd really love to hear from you guys because I feel very passionate about this. But while we're on the subject, patreon.com/havesuchagoodday, please come check us out. We are weekly. We have as low as $1 a month tiers for you guys to kind of start out and see what we're all about. We're adding some new stuff in the next week or so. And we'd love to have you. In fact, we have a few new patrons I'd like to call out. Warm welcome to you. David Morrison.
Hi, David.
Chinami Worth.
Hey, Chinami.
Great name. Kevin Silverman.
Kevin
with a Y. So welcome, you guys. We're so glad to have you.
Yeah, and for anybody who's like, Patreon, what's going on? What's this $1 business? Patreon.com/havesuchagoodday is how we actually make the show work. We are community supported, 100%. Mm-hmm. And without your help, we could not do this every week. So the more of you we have, the better the show is. We want to do more content. We want to offer more rewards. We have big dreams for the show, and we thank everybody who supports us. And if you're on the fence, consider a little donation. You will help us, and we'll keep everyone abreast of our progress going forward.
Absolutely, 100%.
100%.
All right, what's next, Sarah?
Well, so Evan Spiegel, does that name ring a bell to you?
Yes.
Do you know who that is?
Mm-hmm.
Snapchat CEO.
Yep.
So, and it has been for some time, sort of famously, bit of a, you know, kind of a hard ass, kind mm-hmm. of a contrarian, mm-hmm. at least, you know, from the reports of working inside the company, which I never have. And so that's who that is, right? Married to Miranda Kerr. Seems like things are going well for him. he's got a sister, Caroline.
Uh-huh.
Who I'd never heard of before, and people who are, you know, high in the tech sector have siblings, no big deal. Caroline Spiegel has recently come out with what she calls a porn experience. It's called Quinn, like Quinn, a porn experience geared towards women
mm-hmm.
that she says is sort of a less kind of yucky Pornhub.
Mm.
And what I mean by that, or I guess what she means by it, is not visuals based.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, let's say I was in a mood
mm-hmm.
and I went to this platform, which uh-huh. is a social network, as it's at least being described. It would not be like pornographic video stuff, mm-hmm. but maybe it would be audio files or the written word. Or, yeah, some sort of a, you know, meet your neighbor type of thing. But
the whole point, and you kind of go like, what? That seems weird. Like, isn't that like the whole point of porn is that like it's like online video and it's so easy to get? But her story, and it's interesting. I mean, forget that she's Evan Spiegel's sister, and they came from money. So, you know, they're just, that's there.
Mm-hmm.
She has been very open about the fact that when she was in college, she had some body image issues, mm-hmm. Eating disorder stuff.
Yeah.
And some of the whole porn industry kind of fed into that because mm-hmm. it's, you know, you kind of sure. look a certain way and you say certain things and your boobs are mm-hmm. what, you know, it's, you know, without getting too graphic, like we all kind of know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And it really sort of messed her up.
Wow.
And she was like, listen, I want to create something for women. Not all women are going to be like, yeah, I don't like porn visuals either. But for women who feel like that whole sector of life is just off limits because yeah. it's like creepy and gross, it makes you feel weird, makes mm-hmm. you feel fat, like whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I just want to build something so that it's like a sex positive place for people who just like, that's not working for them,
mm-hmm.
even though it's supposedly kind of like societal norm at
sure.
this point. So I thought it was really interesting because
very.
I was like, I don't think it's the right place for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not to, you know, air too much of my own dirty laundry, but I'm like, I know what porn looks like. I understand that there's a lot of variety,
mm-hmm.
but I also understand the stereotypical porn that she's talking about
mm-hmm.
and how it can make women feel super inadequate.
Sure.
And men too.
I'm actually surprised it took so long for someone to do something like this. Because I feel like, yeah, like there's, I mean, I know there's some subgenres of porn, but yeah, I mean, I feel like, I don't know. I mean, I like it when someone talks dirty. Maybe I like the audio.
Maybe you will. Quinn might be the place for you, Heather. But yeah, I guess I don't want to dismiss it outright because that wouldn't be fair. And I do think that it's a very interesting approach. I also just don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, we're just like reading like erotica fiction.
And there's got to be some kind of visual like on, like how do they, you know, on the website or like what are the visuals that they use?
I mean,
it's interesting.
This is the whole thing's brand new.
I mean, it's just like a black screen with like music or something.
Well, yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, it's sort of like if you strip the visuals out of it, and again, like I'm, you know, going back to stereotypes, but the stereotype is always like men are more visual than women. Women
yep.
are more kind of feely, touchy yep. feely, and men kind of, you know, want to see stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that again is not, you know, across the board always the case. But I think there is something to the, you know, females get weirded out by this stuff,
mm-hmm.
and it's not because like, you know, if you're paying attention to porn, you're some sort of deviant and you should feel bad about yourself.
Sure.
But it's not a one-size-fits-all type of a thing.
No, and you know, I do appreciate that, you know, it's purely, yeah, like, I I do.
I threw a curveball on this whole thing,
yeah,
didn't
no,
I?
No, no, no. Yeah. I was actually going to say that.
Heather, think more about porn without visuals.
Well, my imagination is running wild right now. It's kind of in the gutter. But what I was going to say is bring back the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I feel like so much stuff is spoon fed to us. Like I would, it'd be kind of cool to look at a black screen and just hear audio and imagine, you know, something in your own head. I think that's pretty cool, actually. I like it.
We will revisit Quinn.
We will.
At another time, because again, this is something that they just got some media love this week. So this is something that came across my little desk. And I just was, you know, as soon as I read it, I was like, well, I know what I'm talking about on Have Such a Good Day, episode 37.
Your little desk with your big computer.
Correct. Yeah. If anybody is watching our video version and thinks, well, Sarah's computer is slightly bigger than usual because, yes, this is a circa
comically large
2010 17-inch MacBook that I'm using because my other MacBook screen no longer works and there's a whole external monitor thing and it's an absolute shit show.
I thought last week was your big tech problem week. I guess this week is too. It just keeps going. It's like one thing after the next.
I'll find a solution, then there's a new problem.
Yep.
And then I find a solution and then there's a new problem. And then Otis is like, you know, wagging his tail, breaking wine glasses left and right. It's a fun time to be in the Lane residence. Heather, I'll tell you what.
Oh, I know. I know. I hear all these stories. Maybe it would be worse if you had a child. So, I mean, you have a dog child, but a real child, speaking of children.
Yeah. A human child.
I don't know. Do you get lost in the subreddits? Like, do you use Reddit a lot?
Yeah. Well, Daily Tech News Show, we have a subreddit, which we use to find out what stories are interesting to other people. So that's something that I'm actually in my DTNS subreddit on a daily basis. But yes, I also go into the Reddit black hole often because if anyone has ever asked a question online about anything in the whole world, there's some sort of Reddit thread about it somewhere.
Oh, absolutely.
That's just the way it goes at this point.
Well, I stumbled upon one that's child-free. Okay. And the reason why it interests me, so it apparently has about like almost half a million subscribers, so 486,000.
Okay.
I found it really interesting. And what they're doing is they're voluntarily child-free people who feel that, you know how, so let me take a step back. Things have changed. Back in the day, up until fairly recently, I feel like there has been, let's say online dating, for example. There's not as much stigma now, but there was when it first started. It was kind of like, oh, you met online? Like, that's not a great story.
Yeah, like, did you have to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was sort of last resort.
And then, I always sort of prided myself. No, actually, we met at this party, and there's a funny story, and this happened. But
sure.
You don't have those stories when you meet online, and I think it created the stigma. Well, nowadays, time has gotten on our side. It's not a huge deal. I feel like things are happening right now with, like, making the conscious decision in this day and age to not have a child. But I think for a long time, you're a spinster if you're a woman, you're a spinster if you don't have a child. There's a lot of these like negative connotations. A lot of people with children, are constantly like, so when are you going to have a kid? Oh, you don't want one now? Well, you're going to want one eventually. Trust
right.
me.
Yeah.
You know, and like a lot of these people are kind of up in arms like, well, you know what? That's not true. I'm not going to regret my choice. I am voluntarily child-free. This kind of thing, there's like an immediate sort of outrage even from total strangers who have kids and think, wait, you don't want kids? And this whole group, this is what they're talking about. And I went down a rabbit hole. I thought it was super interesting. A lot of these people are kind of like, economic stuff, economic woes, environmental concerns, political unrest. I mean, there's a lot of these really substantial issues in the world now that has helped sort of create this subreddit. Really, a lot of these people are saying stuff like, we have 12 years until the planet is an apocalyptic hellscape, and some of them are a little overly dramatized, but I found it really cool that these people have kind of banded together to sort of like, you know what, this is what I believe, this is what I want, I don't care what everybody else says. And I don't know, I was curious to hear your thoughts.
Well, we kind of touched on this a little bit last week, but I very much understand, and I've been on both sides of this. Like,
yeah.
I know a couple of couples who have been together, whether they're married or not, but, in committed, serious, we're together forever kind of relationships. And, like, I have asked in the past, like, oh, are you guys not going to have kids?
Yeah.
And, sometimes someone will kind of, they'll give you a vague answer, and I immediately go, like, you know what? That wasn't right of me to ask.
Yeah.
Because they might not be able to.
Sure.
There might be a story. It might just be an uncomfortable topic.
Mm-hmm.
There are all sorts of reasons why you kind of like, it's okay to ask, but it's also something you kind of want to think about because nobody owes you a very personal explanation about something that is a very personal decision.
You could be going through IVF for 5 years and,
exactly.
There's a lot of
right.
luck
yeah.
going
Why don't
on
you
these
want
days.
Kids?
Yeah.
It's like, imagine, you don't want to hear that question. But yeah, I do not have children. I feel like my life is very full with my two pets that I do have. I sometimes wish that, my mom was a grandma because we're getting to the point where, like, probably that's not happening.
Yeah.
Not that she, like, gives me a hard time about it, but I'm like, she probably just always thought she would be.
Yeah.
And she isn't.
Yeah.
So that's something that factors into things. But yeah, for the most part, I find the assumption that having kids is normal and not having kids is like okay but not normal, and what's your explanation for that, that tires me the fuck out.
I know, it totally does. And it's funny, a lot of these people are like, you have to like fight for what you believe in. And one of the guys was like, well, someday, someone said to them, well, someday you're gonna get bored of just partying all the time and want to have a family. And he's just like, I don't I don't even party.
Yeah, you know? That's
I want to see the world. I want to eat amazing food. I want to work on projects, enjoy hobbies, play video games for hours. I'm never going to get bored. I'm never going to want kids, you know, just like back off.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of, the world is fascinating. I mean, if you ever find yourself bored, it's a crazy thing to feel because there's so much to do.
I think the underlying message that person was saying to the other person is, having kids means that you're not ready, not having kids means that you're not ready to grow up.
Yeah, and you're selfish.
Because that's what growing up is mm-hmm. you become someone's parent.
Yep.
So stop partying all the time. I actually think, and I know many of my friends who have kids who are wonderful people.
Of course.
Listen and watch the show. So, you know, I will preface this by saying I love you all very much. But having kids to me mm-hmm. is often like, I mean, you might as well just like go back to preschool yourself. You know, everything is kind of about poo-poo and pee-pee and reading like really lame books, you know, and like it's cute because it's a kid. But like your life, like
it
you
becomes that. Yeah.
You regress a lot because you're trying to like get on your kids level.
Absolutely.
And I find that I just have like a shelf life mm-hmm. with that stuff. Where like after a couple of hours where I'm like, I can't do like patty cake stuff anymore. Like I want to talk to like, I don't know, an adult again.
And like on the weekends you're going to the zoo and you're doing like kid related activities.
Stuff. Yeah, and painting bowls and whatever kids do. But and again, if you're enthusiastic and you're loving it and you love your kid and you want them to, you know, learn and grow and everything, it's like, that's awesome.
And we're not poo-pooing.
No, certainly not.
No pun intended.
But
I do,
it does grind my gears a little bit when someone kind of insinuates that you're just not, you're kind of like Peter Pan if you're not like doing the biology thing with kids.
And that's why I love that. I think this is going to open things up a bit. You know, people talking online, this many people, 500,000 people talking about this.
Yeah.
It will, you know, it's kind of like everything that's happening in the world. It's like,
sure,
be who you want to be. Everybody has their own path and let people, you know, it's like forcing religion on someone. I mean, let people believe what they want to believe and live their own lives. You know, takes all kinds, but I thought it was pretty cool.
But before we move on, just real quick, you did mention at the beginning of this topic that, you know, the idea that some people are sort of like, being childless is going to be easier when the world goes to hell. And I know that that's very apocalyptic. Uh-huh. And like, I don't know if you read The Road or not, but that's, you know, that my mind always goes to like, you know, the worst case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
But that does kind of factor into my stuff, because
absolutely.
I'm like, I'm just trying not to get skin cancer, man. Like, I don't like, you know, imagine like, and then there's another person, we're gonna run out of water, the polar bears are dying. Like it is scary.
It is scary.
It's scary to bring up a little life in a world that is, it's not guaranteed.
And then like the whole totalitarian thing, like the Handmaid's Tale, and then she loses her kid. I know a lot of it is a little over the top, but there's some rumblings of things, and it could get scary.
Rumble.
Rumble, rumble. Anyway, you guys, I want to know what you guys think. That's the most important part of this.
Yes.
So please email us at hi@havesuchagoodday.com. Check out our website, havesuchagoodday.com. I wanted to read one quick email, and then we're going to wrap the show. This is from a David Morrison. He's one of our new patrons. Hi, David.
Hi, Dave.
I enjoyed the dating story, Sarah. It was personal and honest. I would love the show to feel like we're all sitting around a table having an easy conversation.
I assume that the dating story he's referencing is the one where I never actually met the crazy man who went on a mental binge before I met him. Yes. Well, I will, if I know myself, I will have more material for you coming up soon.
He also said congratulations on the car and wanted to know if you leased it or purchased it.
Leased it. I'm a leaser because I can't commit to anything. However, I will say that I love that car. I've never loved a car so much.
What about your Saab?
You love
that car.
Well, you know, it's funny because I have a Volvo now. Saab and Volvo, both Swedish companies.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Not the same. But I loved that Saab. And Saab has sort of...
ended in a Saab story.
It did, sort of. Yeah, if you've got a Saab now, your parts are going to be real expensive because it's not actually a company more. But Volvo is thriving. And there are a lot of just like adorable things about it that I liked about my sob. Also, it's quirky.
Neat.
Yeah, Scandinavian. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I love.
I gotta check it out. Let's go for a
love,
spin.
Love, love the car, David, if you're in the market. And, you know, I don't know. You have the same aesthetic style as me. You'll like this car. But it's big. It's a big ride. I'm still kind of like figuring out like I've hit a couple curbs where I'm like, oh yeah, I should have taken that turn a little wider.
Well, you're a small person.
That's true.
Well, you guys, this has been a grand old time. And for you watching the video version, we are outdoors and it's a beautiful day. So we're going to go and seize it. So wherever you are and whenever you are, we hope you have such a good day.
We sure do. I'm Sarah.
I'm Heather.
And talk to you next week.
Bye.